It feels cozy here tonight in this renovated space with its new roof, its gussied up exterior, and of course those bells, those wonderful bells. It feels cozy here tonight in this place of warm wood, light, and the adornments of Christmas. I think of Christmas as the coziest time of the year, for it's filled with gatherings of family and friends, if you're lucky, special cold weather foods and beverages of every kind, and candles inside or lights outside that make the darkness seem vibrant and rich. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the idea of cozy became what some call a lifestyle trend this last year. Originating in Denmark, the seeking of hygge, that's H-Y-G-G-E, that is the seeking of experiences of togetherness, health, warmth, comfort, positivity, and coziness, has taken some countries by storm, and you would think it would be here very strongly in Vancouver. Hygge, in fact, is everywhere, finding its way into restaurants featuring stews, soups, hot chocolate, and tea, finding its way into houseware shops offering candles, slow cookers, teapots, and china cups. It's found its way into clothing merchandisers selling oversized sweaters and warm socks, and into the words of lifestyle experts who tell us all to let go of the stresses of our complicated and demanding lives and instead watch a movie with our sweetheart under a warm blanket, turn off the phone and cozy up with a good book, or invite friends over for home-cooked meals by candlelight. Hygge, in fact, is now so in vogue that there are more than 1.5 million hashtag hygge posts on Instagram, with the word hygge being shortlisted for the 2016 Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year. So you've learned something now tonight. And so this evening, with the hot chocolate given out at the earlier carol service, with the candles upon the altar, with the figures, beautiful figures, nestled in the creche, with family and friends sitting together tonight with their warm coats all around them, a person might rightfully pronounce Christmas at Christ Church Cathedral as hyggelicht, that is, full of coziness. God knows. We all need it right now. With the year we've had full of polarizing politics in the UK and in the US, continuing acts of terror, most recently at a Christmas market in Germany, and the seemingly ceaseless events of personal challenge and loss in the lives of many of the people here tonight, God knows we need it right now. With the winter we've already experienced in this city, with its icy roads and sidewalks and stalled buses, God knows we all need a generous dose of coziness, of warmth, community, and comfort as a way to tell ourselves that despite everything going on in the world around us, we can do some things for ourselves and for those we love that are positive and nurturing. But as much as we may need this, our gospel story and the celebration of Christmas itself are telling us we may need a little reminding of something else. For at the center of our Christmas celebration is the story of people whose lives are anything but cozy. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is how our story tonight begins, with a decree from an emperor whom Romans believed to be the Son of God, ordering all to be counted for tax purposes. For Joseph and Mary, the poor, unsophisticated couple at the center of our story, this meant returning to Bethlehem, Joseph and King David's hometown. For Joseph, we are told, was descended from the house of David. And so right from the beginning, Luke locates Joseph and Mary under a political rule that is coercive and unfriendly, and in which they, as conquered Jewish people, are under the thumb of an occupier whose religious identity is nothing like their own. And though what we may want to focus on in this story is the baby Jesus cozily tucked in with his parents and the animals in a manger, the bigger picture is something quite different. Jesus, the Son of the God we celebrate tonight, is born into a polarized political situation that was always ready to erupt into conflict as the political, religious, and economic elite sought to maintain control over those with little or no political, religious, or economic power. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So after describing Jesus' birth, Luke's story moves on to tell us about others whose lives are anything but cozy. And so we hear about the shepherds, the first who received the news of the birth of the Savior, shepherds that are living out in the fields with their flocks. By Jesus and then Luke's time, shepherding had become a profession for those on the bottom rung of the social ladder, those who couldn't find what was regarded as decent work. Shepherds were thought of as liars and thieves. The testimony of shepherds was not admissible in court, and many towns had ordinances barring shepherds from their city limits. Religious insiders took a particularly dim view of shepherds, since shepherds' duties kept them from observing the Sabbath, rendering them ritually unclean. It is to these scruffy shepherds, people cast out and under suspicion, it is to these shepherds and not to people in better circumstances that the news of the birth of the Savior first comes. And the message is this: do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And so through the story of the emperor-mandated journey to Bethlehem and Jesus' birth there, through the story of the good news coming first to shepherds living out in the fields, Luke locates the birth of the Savior in the very world that you and I perhaps would like to draw apart from right now. A world of political, economic, and religious strife. A world where some more than ever are vulnerable and under suspicion. To this world and to no other, Luke depicts the birth of the Savior as good news. But good news with a particularly important message to those under the thumb of people in power, to those who are poor, and to those who find themselves vulnerable and under suspicion. I am with you, the birth of the Savior says to them. I am with you as you live under the conditions that I myself am born into. Take heart, rejoice, for I am with you as a brother, as a companion in the midst of the difficulties of the lives you actually live. It's the story of a God who chooses not to live above us or off to the side of us, but chooses to live our lives with us, and in doing so, to bring us a sense of peace, even in the most difficult of situations, because we are not there alone. And although it's a story from long ago and far away, it's one that if we open our eyes and ears, we can see and hear. We can see and hear it still going on in difficult situations in our neighborhoods, in our region, and in our country. about a month ago on a bus route in a town in this diocese, a middle-aged female Latina Canadian Anglican woman. She was a bus driver. She encountered the kind of difficult situation I'm talking about. A young white man got on the bus, and a little while into the bus ride, began asking her questions in a challenging tone of voice. "Where were you born?" he asked her. "Were you born in Mexico?" The woman, already feeling tense, answered quietly, "No, I was born in El Salvador." The young white man was silent for a while and then suddenly continued, "Pretty soon they're going to send you back to Mexico or wherever you came from. If you hadn't come here, I would have had your job. Pretty soon they're going to send you back." At this point, an Asian man who was also riding the bus, a stranger both to the bus driver and to the young white man, got to his feet, came forward to where the bus driver's seat was, and simply began quietly standing beside her. After a few more stops, the young white man got off the bus and just walked away. The Asian man then turned to the bus driver and said, "You did well. You remained calm. You remained peaceful." Glory to God, who dares to be born into the real world we live in. Glory to God, who dares to be born into the lives of the vulnerable, the powerless, and those under suspicion. Glory to God, who continues to be born to us each day in the lives of peacemakers, as if sent from on high, who walk among us, who stand with us. Merry Christmas.